On Repeat by Stars and Diamond. Just hear those sleigh bells ring-a-ling, ting-ting-ting-a-ling too. Pansy sighed. Wherever she went in London, be it Diagon Alley, the Ministry, or Harrods, they played the same five songs everywhere. It wasn't that she was against the Christmas spirit. She just wished they hadn't all agreed on the same five songs. At least it wasn't Celestina Warbeck's Christmas album. Her mother had found a way to have the sound of the stereo travel through the entire house, and the house elves had already taken to plugging their ears with wax. "Don't tell me you're already over Christmas," a voice cried from behind a tower of shaking boxes, before George's head appeared with his hair sticking up at all ends. Of course, the ever-working Weasley looked like he'd not only slept at the office, but had also taken on the morning and evening shifts for Cersei's sake. Weasley's wizard wheezes would fall if George ever seriously took off work. It didn't help, of course, that these days they had nearly weekly meetings and even more frequent letters sent between each other. Pansy smoothed the non-existent wrinkles out of her pencil skirt, and George grinned at her.
"I still have 61 product ideas to discuss with you for our Christmas cracker selection boxes."
61? Pansy cried. "Yesterday you said there were 25. What happened between yesterday and today?"
"You inspire me, darling."
George winked, shifted the boxes over onto his left arm, and pulled out some candies from his pockets to pass out to some kids. Pansy raised a slim eyebrow at him.
"I sent you a patent missive."
"Yes, and the patent allows us to include up to so many sub-products in the Christmas crackers."
There certainly never was a boring day, being the legal liaison of Weasley's Wizarding Wheezes. She should have expected something like this. A cold shiver ran down her arm as a ghostly, slightly younger replica of George appeared at her side. With a charming smile, Fred leaned in to whisper into Pansy's ear,
"Imagine it, love, an adult-exclusive box of Christmas crackers."
"I'd imagine your ghostly self less horny, Weasley," Pansy returned, dryly. "The nerve of that man."
Sure, Fred Weasley was dead, but still, what a flirt. That man had no sense of decorum, unlike his twin. George merely chuckled as he directed the boxes to the high shelves with his wand. It was crazy how quickly products sold and needed to be restocked. George could barely keep up with the demand. Adult-exclusive Christmas crackers. Pansy didn't put it past the Weasleys to come up with that. She already had several different property and patent claims sitting on her desk to include in a new business venture. The Weasley twins were business chameleons. When Percy Weasley had asked her, so many years ago, to take a meeting with his brother and his ghostly twin, she'd nearly refused, but then agreed, as a favor to her colleague. A few months later, Pansy excused Percy from any further return favors. The income she generated through her new clients was more than enough thanks.
"Boys, we have a meeting. Can we get on with this? I have other appointments besides you."
"Sorry, Pansy,"
George intervened before Fred could whisper more suggestive products in her ear. She knew Fred was trying to get a rise out of her, and for a fleeting moment, she felt sorry for ruining his fun. He was watching everyone else pass him by, forever stuck as a 20-year-old. Even his twin was starting to look more like one of his older brothers. Sighing, she gave Fred a small, indulgent smile before moving over to the office in the back where they discussed business. When she reached the door, she noticed George hadn't followed her. She turned around to see what the holdup was, probably some kid or parent asking questions about a product. Fred and George seemed in a heated discussion when their eyes swiveled over to Pansy, and George took a few steps towards her. With a stern voice, he said,
"Just wait here, Fred. Pansy and I have business to talk about."
Fred pouted and frowned behind George's back before disappearing through some shelves. Pansy raised a concerned eyebrow at George, but he just smiled at her, placing a hand on the small of her back as they entered the office. Something was definitely up, Pansy thought to herself as she got comfortable.
"You know Fred doesn't mean it, right?"
George asked as he prepared a cup of tea for them while Pansy inspected the Christmas crackers and the laid-out little gifts and trinkets one could win. A selection of fancy paper hats, varying from color-changing crowns to flowery wreaths and humorous helmets. Also, they had commissioned different sweets from Bertie Bott. Christmas-flavored beans and tiny button frogs, and a small charm or toy from WWW Supplies.
George had specifically worked on making their usual products more Christmassy. Daydream charms of sitting with the family beside the fireplace, about pub celebrations, and kissing under the mistletoe. He really was brilliant. Pansy blushed at the thought. She'd been harboring this silly infatuation for a while. Too long, to be frank. Colleagues, that's what they were. Pansy risked a glance at George and his hideous Christmas sweater rolled up to his elbows, his messy hair, and the shadow of a beard coming in. His toned arms held unfulfilled promises of long nights and strong arms to hold her with. Her stomach fluttered as she imagined herself pressed against the sheets. She needed to get a grip.
I know that. Fred's just hanging on, like the rest of us.
Picking up one of the gold and white striped Christmas crackers, she held it out to George.
What does this one do?
Oh, that's a good one. The winner gets a Christmas song.
George grinned widely.
It plays a Christmas song in your head, just for you. The charm plays a specific song depending on your emotions.
His hand grasped the other end of the cracker. His warm brown eyes sparkled in excitement.
Ready?
She nodded and tugged on the cracker, his excitement feeding her eagerness to test the new product. At least with it being George, she hoped that he'd pick something other than the 5 radio hits she so loathed by now.
Crack!
A warm feeling settled over her as the long end of the cracker remained in her hand and the charm took effect. It was a comfortable feeling, cozy. Pansy's eyes met George's, who was watching her intently. She wondered if George had a way of controlling who won the cracker. Then, as if a radio magically switched on, she heard a familiar tune play overhead. Pansy groaned, but a laugh escaped her nonetheless.
Seriously?
I don't want a lot for Christmas. There is just one thing I need. George twisted his fingers, a casual grin on his lips as he held out a piece of parchment for her.
So, what song is playing?
All I Want for Christmas, Pansy said,
smiling as she nodded along with the song. A bright blush shot to George's cheeks. For a lingering glance, George looked utterly befuddled, and Pansy might have missed it if she hadn't been distracted by his brown eyes again, so she merely raised a teasing eyebrow at him before glancing over the list of songs. Songs are subject to change depending on licensing fees. Ask Pansy to source the fees. Sad. White Christmas, Bing Crosby. Nostalgia. Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, Andrew Bell. Sad. Happy. Rocking Around the Christmas Tree, Brenda Lee. Happy. Auld Lang Syne, Nights to Remember. Fun? Question mark, question mark, question mark? Let It Snow, Frank Sinatra. Do we even have to talk about this? Wonderful Christmas Time, Paul McCartney. It's a classic, Pansy. Pansy couldn't help the thought that George had run out of reasons why he picked the songs, other than that he enjoyed them, but as long as the charm worked, she couldn't really argue with him. However, the licensing fees might be the hill that finally kills her. All of these songs were immensely popular and not in the public domain. For Cersei's sake, George. Romantic. All I Want for Christmas, Mariah Carey. Romantic. The Best Things Happen While You're Dancing, Danny Kaye. Flirty. Oh. Warmth filled her, the same rosy blush rushing to her cheeks. Well, that was awkward. The song continued playing. The words on the parchment swam before her eyes. She'd ignored this for so long. George was her client. She couldn't date a client. Well, technically she could, but was that even something George might want? They had been so strictly professional. George swallowed hard. He tugged the paper crown from the end of the Christmas cracker and tapped it with his wand. It unfolded slowly to a flowery wreath, far more intricate than the typical Christmas cracker crown. It was beautiful. He stepped closer, carefully brushing a strand of Pansy's hair behind her ears, and placed the crown upon her head.
So, Pansy
cleared her throat. She didn't like silence, never had. And if George wasn't going to break it, then she would have to.
How well does it work?
What more can I do?
Baby, all I want for Christmas is you.
You tell me, George murmured, and that excited smile she so enjoyed crept back onto his lips. If she didn't know better, she'd have thought he'd planned it, but she'd seen the surprise in him. He hadn't had a clue. Or he did, and he'd been keeping it to himself, like herself. Ever since George and Angelina divorced 3 years ago, he'd kept to himself. He dedicated all his time to the shop and his family. Pansy knew Fred pushed him onto women occasionally, mainly out of worry for his twin. But she'd never expected her feelings to be returned. Pansy leaned in closer, George's fingers still hovering over her temple. The softest touch grazed her skin as if he worried she might disappear from under the tips of his fingers. Her eyes dropped to George's lips, and her breath caught in her throat. Was she really doing this? Taking a deep breath, she carefully brushed her lips against George's. Strong arms wrapped around her middle, pulling her flush against his chest. Her fingers curled around the hideous sweater, and it was soft, so soft and warm. George's large hands splayed over the small of her back, holding her, tightening. No space between them save for the air they breathed. Their lips moved together, hesitant at first, then caressing, teasing. George nipped her lower lip, his teeth gently scraping against hers. Slowly, Pansy pulled away. Her lips a mere breath away from George, and she could feel him, feel his warm breath against her lips, breathing into her. George pressed his forehead against Pansy's, and she closed her eyes, a smile blooming on her lips. She had never felt so content, so warm, so seen. In her peaceful moment, she noticed music still playing. "George," she whispered. He rested his chin on the crown of her head.
"Hmm?"
"The song looped." For a short moment, everything was quiet, save for the song still playing in her mind. Then George carefully pulled himself out of their embrace.
"What? But I fixed that problem."
Abruptly, Pansy opened her eyes, squinting at George with barely concealed suspicion.
"What do you mean you fixed it?"
Pansy asked slowly, as if delaying the answer would make it better. She knew what was coming. The new products were always wonky somehow. George cringed, before settling on an awkward grin.
"I hope you enjoy that song, darling."
What a bother that she couldn't just hex the cheeky grin off of George's face. But she supposed she had a selfish reason for not doing it. It would probably also set off half the office with its unfinished products.
"Make it stop."
"Already on it."
Laughing, George scrambled to his workstation.
"So, good news, at least, is that around hour 3, the charm usually runs out of steam."
Pansy might have to reconsider hexing and turn to throttling. Well, while she was there, she could look at whatever else George had cooked up during the night. She could do this. She could ignore the music. A box against the wall rattled. If something exploded, she wouldn't be surprised. She glanced over at the menace of a man who was already knee-deep in boxes of notes. There would definitely never be a boring minute with George. And so Pansy worked her way through everything set out on George's desk, while he threw the occasional counter charm at her. It took everything in her not to block everything on reflex, but she trusted George to find a solution. The occasional thought crossed her mind to plug her ears, but the noise was in her head, so there wasn't really anything she could do. For God's sake, Mariah, how did shop clerks survive this? 10 minutes, and she was ready never to hear the song again. Shaking herself, Pansy snatched up a stack of note cards George had left for her to add to the different products in the portfolio. Usually they spoke things through, but then she'd be stuck with the song forever.
"I'm just gonna keep on waiting underneath the mistletoe,"
George sighed. An hour. Pansy had been stuck like this for an hour. If she heard the whistle tunes one more time, then she might have to think of her own jinx to throw at George, just to even things out.
"George, please, make it stop," Pansy whined.
She was miserable. Listless, she held out another Christmas cracker to George. This was the 6th one, at least without music. Actually, she didn't know what this one did. It couldn't get any worse than what she was already enduring. "I know, Pansy. I'm so sorry," he said, his eyes never leaving his notes. "It should have worked. There's a simple counter jinx, and a finite should have taken care of any residue magic. I don't understand how this is happening. It shouldn't even be happening."
Pansy poked George in the shoulder with a Christmas cracker until he pulled on the other end. He didn't even bother to look. A loud bang rang through the office, much louder than necessary. That needed to be fixed. For a moment, she hoped the bang would have deterred the song, but no, there it goes again.
"This one didn't do anything except bang. Is that what it's supposed to do?"
"What?"
Distracted, George spun around in his chair. His eyes widened as they fell on the Christmas cracker in her hand. Annoyed, she raised her eyebrow at him and made to move back to the desk. But something was stopping her. Why couldn't she move?
"For God's sake, whatever this is, make it stop! I've had it, George!"
"Darling?"
The tired grin on George's lips was not very consoling. With a heaving sigh, he got up from his chair. The box against the wall rattled ominously again, but George paid it no mind. Things in his office probably rattled all day long. George licked his lips, his brown eyes sparkling with mischief before he gently grabbed her chin and tilted it upwards. His arms snaked around her waist, drawing her flush against his chest again. Circe, he could hold her all day, every day if he wished, no questions asked. Above their heads, a sprig of mistletoe was growing from the ceiling.
Oh, well, this would be nice, at least.
"Am I supposed to be stuck to the floor?"
"Not exactly, but I don't see you complaining."
"Not for this,"
Pansy murmured as she tugged on George's collar to draw him down to her. If she could just stand on her tiptoes, but the spell had her firmly rooted to the floor. George cupped her cheek, his thumb stroking her. She could feel the calluses on her fingers, working hands, and how she wanted those hands all over her body. She whispered,
"Kiss me."
George's lips ghosted over the side of her neck, upwards. She could feel his breath against her ear, and she shivered.
"I was hoping you'd try this one earlier." "Circe, Pansy," he breathed, and her stomach dropped. His husky voice would bring her to her knees.
Pansy keened, his lips kissing the corner of her mouth. She wanted him. She wanted him now.
"I've wanted you for so long. I hope you know that. This isn't just..."
Pansy closed the gap between their lips. Warmth spread through her, tingling in her veins. In one move, George wrapped his arms around her, lifting her off her feet. She could only assume that meant that he'd understood. This was what she wanted. Not a fling, not a quickie in the office, not a one-and-done. She wanted all of George. Horrid fashion sense, overworking ghost twin, none of it could deter her. She wanted George, and she wanted all of him. Since knowing George, her life had turned exciting. Every letter and every meeting was a new adventure. All she'd ever wanted was to be rich and successful. Well, she was rich and successful, but none of it had held the promise of adventure, of figuring out intricacies in legal text, of supporting and growing a business. Behind them, the shelf with boxes creaked and rattled. They did have to sort through whatever was hyperactive over there. Suddenly, Fred's head poked through the wall next to it.
"Finally!" he cried.
George's head snapped up in surprise, his hand reaching for his wand, but he stilled when he realized it was only his ghostly mirror. Well, not anymore. He gently sat Pansy back down before rounding on his twin with crossed arms and a tense smile.
"Get lost, you prat!"
The excitement in Fred's eyes dimmed when he floated over. Pansy saw the shift, a mere fleeting moment before mischief returned to his eyes. He hovered next to Pansy's shoulder, leaning in for a conspiratory mock whisper.
"I'll have to tell Millie about this. We've been betting and waiting for ages."
Pansy turned to eye Fred, while George shook his head in the background.
"Betting, you say?"
"Yes."
"Well, you'd better include a generous Christmas bonus for all this trouble. I have been listening to Mariah Carey for over an hour. You boys and your great ideas."
Fred's eyes lit up in excitement. He nodded enthusiastically and disappeared through the wall again, probably to find Millicent wherever she was in the shop.
Actually, now that she thought about it, she couldn't hear the song anymore. It stopped. When had it stopped? She hadn't taken notice of it. Maybe sometime around the kiss? Or when Fred had shown up. She couldn't shake the sudden onslaught of nerves. Something was off.
Sorry about that.
George pushed the remnants of the Christmas crackers to one side, leaning against his desk.
Boundaries is still a complicated topic with a ghost twin.
He cracked a grin, then turned serious again.
I shouldn't joke. At least he's here.
Pansy couldn't imagine the pain of losing someone so close to her. In other circumstances, she might have had more to say on the matter, but not here. Not now. Loss was not a one-way street when one returned unexpectedly as a ghost. She just hoped that pranks were where Fred's loneliness ended. By now, she was fairly certain why the song had looped for her, and why she'd been stuck to the floor.
"Does Fred know Millie's been dating Greg for a few weeks now?"
Pansy moved to stand between George's legs, and he sighed.
"He knows."
The knowing look he gave her confirmed her suspicions.
"The song stopped, didn't it?"
"Yes," Pansy said, as she leaned her head against his shoulder. "I guess knowing and accepting are two very different things."
She wasn't sure what they'd do if Fred ever disappeared, or if his loneliness made him anything other than what he was now. She supposed they'd worry about that later, if it ever came to such things. With a teasing grin, Pansy softly trailed kisses on his jaw.
"For the record, I think it's cute he has a crush, but I draw the line at necromancy."
George huffed out a laugh, his cheek resting on top of her head.
"Oh, darling, we'll see about that."